Hey, everybody out there, welcome back to 91.8 The Fan, your favorite station. I'm, of course, your lovely host, DJ Christmas, and this here is my lovely guest. Would you like to introduce yourself, lovely guest?
Hello, I'm Vanna White's grandmother.
No, actually, I'm Tristan McAvery, and I do funny voices, which is, you know, kind of how you came to know me, I guess, because of all the anime stuff.
Well, yeah, funny voices does tend to help when you are, in fact, a voice actor.
It's true. It's very difficult to be a voice actor without doing voices. I've known people who've tried.
Yeah, usually they end up voicing mimes.
Yeah, it's one of those special channels where they, you know, have the audio feed that's kind of on a track that no one can quite hear. It's a strange thing. But that's okay. See, even from a young age, I was told that I had the perfect face for radio. So, as you see, it's you know, kind of a natural progression.
Oh, well, there you go. And to most of our anime fans out there, they would know you best as Gendo Akari from Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Correct. I still have a little of that voice left in me. It's been, I'm afraid to say this out loud, it's been like 12, 13 years now, y'all. Just saying.
Quite some time since you got into the mood.
Yeah, yes, indeed. I haven't laced my fingers together and propped them under my nose for quite some time. The great Gendo Akari pose, which became a joke at several different anime conventions. There was a fellow I knew who had a brilliant costume that he would cosplay as Gendo Akari. And the one, I don't know, it was just before closing ceremonies or something, and there was some difficulty or whatever, and some people were bored. And they got us up on stage on opposite ends of a table. And we both assumed the Gendo pose and tried to say something to make the other one crack up. He won once, I won the other time. So it was a draw. And some of the comments probably would exceed the rating limits of this particular program, so I won't quote any. On the other hand, it was the end of the con, so you can imagine everybody was tired and like, we don't care what you're saying, we're going to leave here anyway.
A Gendo off, if it as it were.
As it were, yes. I think somebody tried calling it that, and we both turned to look at them with the Gendo stare in the audience. Yeah, the audience went nuts. It was great fun.
And how exactly did you come to assume the role of Gendo Akari?
Well, it was nobody really wants to hear this, but it's true. It was largely accidental. Not occidental, mind you, but accidental. When I was in Houston in mid-90s, I went looking for an agent to try to start a career as a voice actor. I was thinking about voiceovers for commercials and so on and so forth. And I finally found Dan Young, who was a great help. He's out of the business nowadays. And he, I'd never forget, after I submitted my demo tape to him, he called me in, he sat me down. His first words were, "You're really talented. I have no idea what to do with you." Which I thought was, you know, like, okay, there's kind of a mixed blessing. And so I started doing some recordings, and I found out how we would audition for radio commercials or television voiceover or whatever. And he got me a great deal of work in that direction. However, there was someone who worked part-time in his office in a kind of receptionist secretarial mode, a young lady you probably have never heard of, Tiffany Grant.
Oh, we have actually talked to Tiffany Grant before.
And that's how it started. Tiffany said, well, you know, there's a guy who does voiceovers for anime, and why don't you come in and talk with him about things? And the first one was not Gendo. It was a little thing called Super Atragon. And they were looking for, okay, let me see if I can remember this. I remember that the ship was the USS Judy Garland, which really, it was difficult to put that one together. And it was Admiral Bogart. That was it. And I kept thinking, okay, who was watching old movies when they decided they were going to name these? So I auditioned for this, and also there were like three lines from Russian ambassador at the UN, and I got to sneak in a little bit. The announcement is made, and I whisper in, "Не может быть," which is Russian for "it cannot be." I knew a few Russian phrases because I was using them in a book I was writing. So Russian character, so I put those in. So I got to, you know, throw that in there. After that was Suikoden, Demon Century, and I was... Mr. Amamoto, I think, was the name. And I was doing that because when I saw this character and I thought, I want to do that high, squeaky thing that Richard Widmark did when he was early in his career, when he scared the heck out of you because of this really creepy high voice. So I tried that. Finally, yes, we're at the moment you're waiting for, the big project was coming up, and so Matt Greenfield basically handed me this role. Said, "You're Gendo." I said, "Okay." And what was interesting was, and I'm not telling any tales out of school here, Matt Greenfield had seen like the first six episodes when he started writing and directing the dub. He had not seen the whole thing. And so you can guess why now the first time you see Gendo, he's actually very soft-spoken. And then as it goes along, you find out what a stinker he can be with
right.
all the, you know, all the everything else that's going on. And even Matt had even said at one time that he really wished he could kind of pull those first six episodes and redo them because he had better ideas of the characters when he went along. But it was a deadline thing. It was a, you know, pressure thing. So I got it. And he went through all the sources he possibly could, as a matter of fact. This one's a slightly, you know, important secret. He went to a couple of fan subs. Someone brought him scripts of fan subs because he was having trouble with the translation that he had. So he found a few and like, okay, I'm going to take a synthesis of all this, and there he went. So this is where Evangelion starts kind of shaky because of the scripts and so forth. It's not fault. I don't want to make it sound like he did something bad with it or that he wasn't prepared. It was that he was under the gun trying to do this on the fly. So got to give the man credit there. So here comes Gendo, and third, I think, would come in to do one or two episodes at a time. Well, the third half-hour episode, if I remember correctly, Gendo's got like one line. So I show up and I do one line, and Matt's sort of like, "Yeah, I think you nailed it. See you later." And I think you go, "Okay, you're great."
Easiest $50 I ever made.
How did you know? That's the exact amount, in fact. That was what was hilarious about it. But anyway, you know, Gendo's needed for other things, so that's just one of the ones that didn't appear. It's really quite amusing. Anyway, that's where Gendo came from. After doing other things with ADV and so forth, when, oh heavens, if I get this wrong, somebody just give me a gib slap up upside the head. I think it was U.S. Manga Corps, wasn't it, that got the films?
Yes.
Back in 2000, thank you. Because I remember Amanda Wynn Lee, that's fine, I just couldn't remember who released it all. Amanda Wynn Lee had, and Jason Lee, your husband, had gone up to California by that time, if I'm not mistaken, and they came back to Houston to find the cast and get everybody together to do this. And I have to thank her for paying me a wonderful compliment. I was the first person in the booth, the first person to lay down lines. And what she had said was, she said, "I knew that if I had you in first, that we'd get this off to a solid start."
Well, there you go.
I thought that was quite a compliment, and I appreciate it. On the other hand, I have to tell you, I had nobody else's voice to work off of, to play from, so I had to do the whole thing kind of cold. It came out pretty good, I think, actually.
I agree. I've seen all the series, and I actually have both of the original movies, and I quite enjoy it.
She wrote a heck of a good script. It's really wonderful. Am I allowed to mention things that are on, shall we say, another channel on the internet?
Well, sure.
Okay. If you go looking on YouTube and Google my name, you'll find that there were some interviews that were supposed to be in with the discs and weren't. The person who filmed them, bless them, they didn't have any extra lighting, so it's very dark. We're just in a booth someplace, basically. On the other hand, people would get in there, and if you find mine, then you can find, I've lost names. I'm so sad. Forgive me. Spike Spencer. Thank you. I'm glad I didn't forget his name. The guy is terrific. He played Shinji, voiced Shinji. And Spike has his comments on there and a few other people also. This was all supposed to be on the disc and wasn't. But you can go find it on YouTube. And it's really interesting because all of us were talking about the characters and how it all put together and the weird philosophy that goes on with it. And Evangelion is one of those things you sit up till 4 in the morning having pizza and root beer, or real beer if you're into that, and talking about what it all means kind of thing. Well, at least I would have, but then that's what I did back in college, you know, somewhere during the Punic Wars.
Very so, philosophical series, Neon Genesis Evangelion is.
It is. You can take from it just about anything you want, which is why it still survives. It's still fascinating. One last Evangelion story I have to tell you was at the convention a few years ago, and I'm up on the dais with several people that I was there. Kyle Hebert was there, and several others. I can my memory is not what it's supposed to be, so I can't bring all the names up like I wish. But we were all the voice actors being asked questions, and this person came up and said, "Okay, in the End of Evangelion, Death and Rebirth, what is it? What do you think that Gendo says to?" Ritsuko, at the because there's a silence, you know, there's no line there. And so what do you think, said, and I'm saying sitting there with the mic in one hand, I reached into my pocket because moments before in the dealer's room, for no reason that I can understand, I had just purchased a 20-sided die. So I frown, I reach in my pocket and I roll this 20-sided die on the table. And the crowd goes nuts. Everybody howls with laughter. I've got a few people sitting next to me like, what are you doing? And after everything died down, I look up and I say, I don't know. And but yeah, Evangelion still, it sticks with you. It's one of those things that, you know, once exposed, it has a kind of, you keep thinking about it.
Definitely. Yeah. Especially with all the new movies coming out. I mean, another new movie comes out in just a month.
I haven't seen any of the new stuff, I'm sorry to say. I don't know anything about that, which is a shame because I'm told they're really quite interesting, quite an amazing collection of new tales and expansion and so forth. So I really haven't heard, though.
Hmm. And did you ever get called in to reprise your role as Gendo?
No, I did not. I'm not sure. Are these being released by ADV, by the way? Or
they're being done by Funimation.
Funimation, that's interesting. I had a bit of trivia from way back. I had contacted Funimation when I found out that they were taking on Lupin the Third, which I adore, the Lupin movies. And I had, in fact, done 8 fan sub scripts for a company out of Washington State called Odyssey Anime. And yes, I did it. I wrote fan sub scripts. You want to know why?
Because you're a fan.
I am a fan. And I love the stories. And I love putting a little bit of spin on these scripts because I wrote scripts for ADV when I was there. And ultimately, fan subs and even fan dubs, but particularly fan subs, are free market research for Funimation, ADV, all the firms, anybody in the United States that is wondering, what should I focus on if I want to go buy an anime from Japan? Find out what's being fan-subbed and how wide the distribution is. Free market research. And if you really want to get cheap, free translation. So, you know, anybody who tries to tell you fan-subs are evil, refer them to me. I got the goods. Just saying.
Right.
And I was hoping from Funimation, I said, you know, I'm sending you this script that I did for Twilight Gemini for Lupin. And I said, I have no rights to this in a literal sense because it's for something else. I just wanted to let you know this is what I did with the script because I really would like to come work for you and do these scripts. And I had a silence that was resounding throughout the world. I didn't hear a thing. So I would like to think that I was available somehow, that, you know, people could find me. I wasn't exactly in hiding. So if they wanted to find me, they probably could. It may be that they wanted to try to get a whole new cast, take a whole new spin on the whole on all of it. I don't know if they got any of the original people. Do you have any idea?
For the Evangelion movies, I know that they did get a couple people back. I know that Spike is back.
Yeah. Spike's a wonderful, wonderful voice actor and a funny guy, I have to tell you. An interesting bit of, yes, this is relevant. I did a season for H&R Block in the tax office in Petersburg, Virginia. And what's interesting is they had this little DVD that you watch to learn how to use their credit machine, which is, you know, punch in the information and so forth for the credit cards. Spike did that.
Wow.
And I was watching this thing and he says, "Hi, I'm Spike with this." And I'm thinking, that can't be. And it was. Whatever offices put this thing together for the packaging. And I think that this was not H&R Block, but actually the people who created the machinery and programming for the credit card reader. And he did this whole thing with his accustomed comedy, thoroughness, and professionalism. And I realized, yeah, see, voice acting can take you anywhere, including every H&R Block office in the United States saw that, I'm pretty sure. So, hey, there's a following, if none other. I mean, you know.
Well, there you go. But I think for everyone else out there, we're going to take a quick musical break, but make sure you keep it tuned because we'll have more Tristan McAvery when we come back.
There's so much more of me to love. Go ahead.
Of course. So keep it tuned to your favorite station, 91.8 The Fan. Everything you want and nothing you don't.
Ever wonder what's going on in the anime world? Check out 918 The Fan every weekday for the newest iStock. We'll fill you in on everything you need to know in 3 minutes or less. Only on 918thefan.com.
Hey, everybody out there. Welcome back to 91.8 The Fan. I'm still here, and I still have my special guest.
Yes, you do. I'm still here. You haven't gotten rid of me yet.
Not yet, but we're trying our darndest.
Oh, doggone it. I need some better spells so I can keep myself here. Like Kirk Douglas. Oh, where did that come from? I do a lousy Kirk Douglas, don't mind me.
But we were talking a bit behind the scenes, and even though you may not be doing so much anime stuff, what exactly do you have going on now?
Well, actually, if you'll, I hope someone else will do something with this. I'm sorry, there's a ringing phone. I apologize.
That's all right.
It's gone now. I don't want to talk to them, wherever they are. So, hi, we'd like to talk to you about your credit card that you haven't paid on in 7.5 years. Oh, well, let me see what I can do for you. What I'm doing right now is I'm enjoying our robust economy, and as a result, I've been doing a lot of independent stuff as best as I can and so on. So things like one of my interests, in fact, is reading tarot cards. That might be something new for you folks. And there are a lot of conventions where I ended up reading tarot cards for people, and so some few have known about this. It's not lucrative, but it's fascinating to work with people. And very briefly about all this, I have nothing to do about telling the future. That's not something that happens, but you take all these images and so forth. I've got a degree in psychology and English. I had a double major way back when. That prepared me for the corporate world. And so I go through and interpret symbols on these cards. It makes it fascinating just to talk to people, see what's, see what comes up for them and so on. So sometimes that happens, and I've got two conventions they're called psychic fairs. 2 weeks from today, in fact, for that weekend in Syracuse, and then in Rochester, New York, 2 weeks after that. So you look for the psychic fairs in the vicinity. If you happen to be in Rochester or Syracuse, do drop by. Love to read for you. I also, go figure on this one now. I can barely draw a straight line with a ruler. So what do I come up with but a concept for a webcomic?
Well, of course. That's what everyone who can draw thinks. And like,
Now, if you're lucky enough to be the person who puts forward, I think it's called XKCD.
Yes.
Basically stick figures and so forth, and brilliant work, may I add. I'm embarrassed I can't think of the person's name. I apologize. If you know it, please. But just astonishing, the stuff that happens. And also, I've forgotten this fellow's name as well, Partially Clips, where the person uses the same clip art in 3 or 4 panels and provides dialogue or background or whatever. Genius. Absolutely wonderful stuff. I, on the other hand, came up with what might be best described as a furry comic. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, anthropomorphic animals, the somewhere between human and name your animal here. The story that I have now is I have a full background, including, 330 descriptions, panel by panel descriptions of comics for this, webcomic that doesn't exist at this point. I need an artist.
Well, that would be kind of a prerequisite for having a comic.
It really is. One of my friends on Skype, who is out in Germany, as a matter of fact, who goes by the name of Set, as just informed me, XKCD is Randall Munroe, M-U-N-R-O-E. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. See, I do have people all over the world who actually will listen from time to time. So I'm trying to give you some, you know, things back over here.
There you go.
And and my other friend in Germany named Schnee also has come up to inform me of the same. And says he's not sure about the clip out Karmic. I can probably find him anyway. But we're trying to give proper credit to people who are out there because they're wonderful, wonderful things. So thank you, Schnee. Thank you, Seth. I appreciate it. And they're kind of behind the scenes and giving me little cheat notes, you know, sort of like Sarah Palin. Oop, I didn't say that out loud, did I? Oh, never.
Oh, no, of course not.
We can edit that. That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, if anyone is my webcomic is basically about a house, five housemates there, and they're just normal humans like everybody else until they're in the house. And then they become their furry forms. Now, the other thing about the house, of course, is, as any good Whovian knows, a house has to be bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
Of course.
The house basically drew these people in to them and has given them plenty of space to work with and so forth. So it's a lot of fun. I have whole batches of strange story arcs that are going through, love stories that are happening between some of the characters and so forth. I have one where two characters have fallen in love and there's one in the house and one who isn't, who doesn't know anything about the house. And they're having to face this idea of, you know, is she going to have to give up being furry in order to have her romance? Because if she can't, you know, bring that person to the house and so on and so forth, all these little things that go on. So there's a little drama in there. There's a lot of comedy and some fun, silly stuff and so on. So that's, you know, I think, let me see if I can remember. If anyone has an account with Fur Affinity, it's called, but it's furaffinity.net.
Yes.
And I am on there as Tara Wolf, T-A-R-O-T-W-O-L-F. And on there I have something that I wrote, which was basically an interview with the characters. I borrowed James Lipton's persona, as it were. I did an interview with each of the five characters. You can read more about that there. I don't have my own website, I'm theory. I'm still back in the ancient front page days. Anyone old enough to remember that old program? Yeah, that's gone 10 years and more now. trying to learn something new. But in any case.
But that is rather interesting. I think, actually, there might be a few artists out there in the audience who may be able to help you with that.
That would be a fun thing, and I'm just open enough that I will... Okay, I will do this. You are not responsible for this. Okay, folks, get your pens and paper ready. I'm actually going to provide an email address if you want to ask me about something for the drawings and so forth. Are you ready?
I am
Tara
ready.
Tara Wolf? Yeah, tarawolf@gmail.com. That's T-A-R-O-T-W-O-L-F @gmail.com. I have just opened myself to I don't know what, but strangely enough, I've never met a stalker. So... If you are a stalker, please don't write. I mean, it's an experience I don't need at my age. On the other hand, everybody else, that's one thing I have really loved about the fandom is both anime fandom and furry fandom that I have found. People are usually very polite. If they're impolite, it's because they're nervous and they don't know quite what's going on and they forget. They're just not thinking.
Right.
And otherwise, no, everybody's really nice. And hi, how are you? Is everything okay? Every once in a while, I would actually find the giggling fan, which I mean this with the greatest of affection when I say the giggling fan. I never really thought of myself as some kind of celebrity. And it's so cool when someone recognizes my name, especially out of a convention situation. I've had that happen only once. And somebody took my credit card to an order, and after a while, she came back out and she said, "Are you the Tristan McAvery?" And I just thought, "Oh my God, I've become the Tristan McAvery." Oh wow! So I really appreciate you guys. Just in case I don't have a chance to say it very often, everybody's nice, everybody's helpful, everybody is exuberant and fun, and I love you guys. I really do. I can't say the fandom is why I do the voice acting. On the other hand, the fandom is so fabulous about it that I try to give back when I can, because
you guys rock. You know that? Just you know.
Well, it's really nice to hear that from, you know, somebody out there in the industry. I mean, to people like myself, I know, at least I should only speak for myself, but I personally look up to a lot of voice actors because I appreciate and respect all the work that you guys do to bring all that anime over to us in a language that we actually speak.
Point taken. And thank you. That's what I'm talking about. It's kind of a mutual admiration society in the long run. That's how I feel about it. That's how I enjoy it, is to be able to have that interaction with everybody. It's great. That's why I've always loved conventions. I'm not slated for any conventions this year. I'm available. Hint, hint, you know. However, I really appreciate the places where I have been, the people that I've met and worked with and hopefully entertained and been able to chat with. It's just wonderful to see everybody and to have the chance to give that back. I won't name names. It's not polite. There are some people who feel perhaps overwhelmed by some fans, and they themselves may forget and not really know quite what they're saying or doing or whatever. And I just try to remember, if I'm at a convention, I'm being given a room and food. Food, yeah. Give me food, you got me. These people are providing this so that I can be there. It's like, this is now my job for the weekend. I want to be out there and see everybody and, you know, talk to people and be there. So if you find somebody that's not quite as nice when you see them in the hallway or something like that, maybe they're just tired or whatever, give them the benefit of the doubt, because I don't think they're any actual really, you know, snooty people. So I just really appreciate the fans, and that, forgive me if I'm gushing. It's sort of what I do.
Of course, and I'm sure we've all been to a convention before, and we can see some of the craziness that happens, especially after dark.
When the lights go down, you never know who might be behind that curtain.
Well, you've already answered one of the questions that we normally ask when we come to the end, which is, how can our fans stalk you in a nice way? But you've already poured your Fur Affinity account and your email, which is a first for this show.
Ah, well, okay, glad to do that. The Fur Affinity account, by the way, is also under Tarot Wolf, so you can find me that way. I appreciate comments about the characters and so forth that I've created. I don't know how much you may have known. I started out as a writer. I've been writing almost since before I could speak. I have 6 books out. Check BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon or somebody, and you'll find them there. And I have lots of stories, and frequently there are characters out there somewhere who have a story that they want told, and so they tap me on the shoulder, and I ignore them, and then they start hitting me, and they come into my dreams and make things all dangerous and scary until I tell the story. It's very much like that when you're creating a character, whether acting or writing or whatever, is you start getting the feeling of being in their head a bit more. And, you know, if you actually start hearing voices, maybe it's time for the Ritalin or whatever, you know, a little Valium wouldn't hurt. But in all honesty, that's where character comes from. And when you have that, a little tip for voice actors or whoever, find a character, find somebody that talks to you so that you can talk for them. So with all the writing and everything that I'm doing, that's probably one of the biggest things that's happening now with the webcomic. And I wrote a new novel during National Novel Writing Month last November. Yes, I was one of the winners. 200 and I forget how many thousand people around the world. And 1 in 5 made it to the challenge, which is to write at least 50,000 words within those 30 days.
Wow.
Yay. Go me, go.
Very impressive.
It's just fun. So, yeah, I like the feedback because that means I'm doing something. Where they say, if you say, this stinks, put down the pen, get away from the computer, never type again, then I think I've done something wrong. On the other hand, if you come up and say, that was different, you got any more like that? Because I'm a storyteller from way back, as you can tell how high verbal I am. Clearly, I go back to Charles Dickens and Stephen King. So,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to know that. Thank you. Oh, you've cleared that up for me. I feel a great burden has been lifted from my shoulders.
Well, it's nice to talk to somebody who, you know, in the next 10 years, you can talk to someone and it's like, say, do you remember what a book is? just those things with printed on paper and words and, oh, I love those.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I do love books. Now, I confess I've been tempted to purchase an electronic book. I'll avoid, you know, endorsing one. I love the feel of a book in my hand, so I don't know whether the electronic book is going to help very much. I would look at it as a way to keep certain things in what I might call the cheap library, things that I might want to read once in a while, but not a book. You know, I'm the guy that loves a slipcased edition.
Right.
I want to be able to afford a library space somewhere. I'm going to have a house where I can actually prop myself up in a wonderful chair with a good reading lamp, little table to one side. You know, you have the book there. You have some lovely imbibement. I'm not an alcohol drinker, so for me, it's probably going to be a nice hot cocoa. So, you know, something like chocolate raspberry or something. That's a wonderful mix.
I'm more partial to chocolate cinnamon myself, but...
Ooh, delightful. Delightful. Which, as a matter of fact, now that you mentioned it, is a plot point from that NaNoWriMo novel I wrote last November. So there you go. Okay. See, we're just, you know, hey, simpatico, man. We got this thing going back and forth. It's okay. It's all right. Okay. Don't make me do, you know, something about Fluffy, because, you know, I'm Fluffy, I admit. Gabriel Iglesias and I got it.
Of course.
Absolutely.
But we are nearing the end of our allotted time, and before we let you go, we ask everyone who comes on the show if they would be willing to participate in a 91.8 The Fan tradition.
Oh my, I certainly wouldn't want to be one to break tradition. It's just not on.
It's a very traditional tradition, if I do say so myself.
Oh, how lovely. Dating back for at least a week.
Of course.
Okay, what can I do you, Voa?
Well, we ask everyone who comes on the show if they would be willing to do a radio bump for us.
A radio bump? Okay. What kind of thing do you need?
We just ask you to say, my name is, and you insert your name, because we have actually had somebody who, as a very funny joke, we just said, you say, my name is, I do this, and then the tagline that we have everyone saying is like, all right, my name is, I do this. And we're like, no, seriously. It's like, no, that's all you get.
Okay, so it's what you're saying, though, is it's been done.
Yes, it has been done.
Okay, so you want my name is, I do this, and you're listening to?
And you are tuned into 91.8 The Fan.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. Are you ready?
I am.
Let's try something.
All right.
Hi, I'm Tristan McAvery. I did the voice of Ikari Gendo for Neon Genesis Evangelion, and you are tuned into 91.8 The Fan, as was foretold in the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Well, very nice. Perfect.
How's that work for you?
First take and everything. I couldn't have done it better myself.
You could do me better than me? Oh my, I may be out of a job.
Well, that would be rather interesting. I see a potential career in my future.
Uh-oh. Oh, dear. Now I got to get back on the road and reestablish my entire career. Oh, no. Appreciate it. I've been having a lot of fun. I hope you folks out listening have been having fun.
Well, I know I certainly have fun. It was a great pleasure to get the chance to talk to you.
I enjoyed it. Thank you. It's both flattering and fun. So believe me, you got it with all, you know, got me both barrels there for.
It's funtering.
It's fun. I thought you said this was supposed to be like PG-13. You could go so far with a made-up word like that, and I'm not going to. I'm going to be a good guest and not go there.
Well, all right, then. But for everybody out there who missed any part of this interview, shame on you. I don't know why you would do such a thing. But it will be up on the website in just a few days, so make sure you keep it tuned to your favorite station, 91.8 The Fan. Everything you want and nothing you don't.